This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jamal Murray, after the Nuggets came back for the second consecutive series, down 3-1.
We've been showing it. I don't know how else to say it. We've been showing it. And you got Shaq, you got Charles, you got, I think, Zach Lowe's his name, I don't even know. Stephen A., all y'all better start giving this team some damn respect, because we put in the work and we got a resilient team. And we shouldn't have been down 3-1, but you know, to come back from 3-1 against the Clippers, you know, it was a big achievement. So it's fun just to, you know, change that narrative. Y'all can start changing the narrative and looking at us in a better light.
Putting in the work is one thing. Like, I get a lot of athletes look for bulletin board material in the media, whatever. Putting in work is one thing. You put in all the work in the world. If you don't have the talent, it doesn't matter. And the question is, what is the ceiling for the talent, right? So this is my whole thing. I got a five-star system. Five stars is MVP. Four is an all-star. Three is a starter. Two is a rotation piece. One is a replacement-level player. You find someone in the G League, you know, more or less is good. Going into this series, I thought Jokic is a 4.5 star player. Jamal Murray's a 4-star player. And Michael Porter Jr. maybe could be he's a 3.5-star player at this point in his career, but with upside. But what's happened is, before our very eyes, Jokic is a 5-star player. Jamal Murray is a 5-star player. And whatever Porter is, anything you get with two MVP-caliber players is gravy. And it's not like Porter's the only other guy who can play on the team. Well, it's a problem. The Lakers have their work cut out. Now, it's a little bit different situation. Jokic can control the game with his passing, but still his scoring on the inside is important, and he's running into Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. That's a lot of defense in the paint. By the way, Here, let me just give you a little insight. Take you behind the curtain. When you actually work in the business, right? So who do I actually root for? I root for the Lakers. I'm like, the Clippers' misery is happy to me. Because as a true fan of a team, if there's another team in the town, you must root against them. They are your enemy. When I was a kid in Yankee Stadium bleachers, I basically grew up in the bleachers in Yankee Stadium. There was a chant, which I can't repeat. It's not appropriate on a Disney-owned show. It's a family show, which, by the way, I appreciate much more now that I have kids. When I was younger, it's great. When you know you could put your kids in front of there's a branded product. I could put my kids in front of it, and I don't have to worry. So I respect that, not just because I work for Disney. But so I can't repeat it. Let me just say that there was a chant in the Yankee Stadium bleachers where you would say, it would end by saying, the first public enemy was Mets. I can't even say this word, stink, let's say. Then it would be Boston stinks. Then it would be the team you're playing. Let's say it was the Texas Rangers stink. Then it would be the right fielder, because that's where the bleachers are, so they could hear you, stinks. Then it was box seat stink, because we're in the bleachers. Then it was that side, meaning of the bleachers, stink. It's an S word. It's not stink, but you get the idea. And then you turn around with your finger pointing at everyone. Do a 360. Say, you all stink. Right? The only one who doesn't stink is you, in other words. But the point is, the first thing you said before even the Red Sox was the Mets. They were public enemy number one to a Yankees fan back then. I'm talking about the early 80s, let's say, early mid 80s. Well, that's when I was like going to Yankees games with friends by myself. I was like, I don't know, back then you could, 10 years old, something like that. So if you root for the heritage team in town, every town with two teams has the heritage team and the clown team, right? Problem with the New York Knicks is they were both the heritage team and the clown team, and they were running unopposed. Now the Nets are in town. You have a choice. I would encourage you to root for the Nets. But, you know, they're not a disaster. They're not a clown show like the Knicks have been for decades now under Dolan. But anyway, so I was a Lakers fan. I moved to LA. I'm like, what are the, you know, I couldn't take Dolan anymore. I had to give it up. I couldn't take it anymore. When I was on New York radio, I used to run the New York Knicks abuse hotline. And people could call in and vent, and I could say, hey, you know, they can't hurt you anymore. And we would adopt a team close enough to us. We called it the New York Cavs of Cleveland, right? And we would follow them. I used to have Mike Brown on, who was the coach of the Cavs at the time, with LeBron. I used to have him on as though he was the local coach. The point is, every team, every town that has two teams, if you root for one team, you're not supposed to root for the other. People who don't follow sports, I'm a Yankees and a Mets fan. No, you're not. Shut up. Choose one and hate the other one. That's the proper way to root for sports. And as a Lakers fan, Clippers misery, even when I enjoyed watching the team, I really enjoyed the Clippers fans' misery. You know, and you had a lot of them, even transplants in L.A., like they, a lot of them from Boston, let's say, I can't root for the Lakers. I can't do it. But they want to become a fan of the local team. Clippers, okay, that gives me an out. Bill Simmons is like that. Billy Crystal was like that. And there are others. But no, you go. Why would you go move to L.A. and be a Clippers fan? What are you, a glutton for punishment? That's like for people who move to New York and they're like, okay, I'm going to adopt the Mets. Why? Don't you want your kids to have a good life? So I really do root for the Lakers and against the Clippers. But, it's a big but, when you make a prediction, if you work in the business, you want to be smart and you want to be right. So you don't have to live through a day like this with Stephen A. Smith shooting off at the mouth and gloating. I used to hate, the worst part about my Sundays when I was in New York, in L.A. radio, doing Max and Marcellus, is if my DraftKings team wasn't doing well and I had to go into work the next day and listen to Marcellus on the air talk about him beating me at DraftKings, it was like the worst feeling. Like really a bad feeling. Like it would ruin my night the night before and ruin the next day. So what happens is you start rooting for your prediction. Even as a Lakers fan, you can't help it. The truth is you start rooting for your prediction. However, now that that's over, can I just say as a Lakers fan, I mean, the Clippers, you still have never been out of the second round? Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, and Doc Rivers? And you haven't been out of the second round? Rabbi Zubac can play. You haven't been out of the second round? You haven't, you share a building with a team that has hung 16 championship banners? I know the Celtics have 17. But in the modern era, meaning like the three-point era, since the absorption of the ABA teams into the NBA and the adoption of the three-point line, the Lakers have won 10 championships in that time, the Celtics 4. So really, in modern NBA history, of course there's recency bias. Of course you discount championships won long ago. Well, you're going to discount the Yankees championships? Yeah, but they have 27, everybody. They still, like, even when you weigh more heavily modern times, Yankees by far the number one franchise. But when you run the same equation with the Lakers, they're by far the number one franchise, way over the Celtics, not close. And the Clippers share a building with that team? 16 championship banners, 10 since 1980, 10? And you can't even hang a second-round championship banner? Not one? Whew, that's a snake-bit organization. And it was Donald Sterling for a long time. They got what they deserved. But since then, you got the billionaire Steve Ballmer, and he's trying to do the right thing, and he hires Doc Rivers, championship coach, and you get Kawhi Leonard and make the trade for Paul George. You still can't get out of the second round? Good Lord. Brian in Long Island, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, one point, you know, I'm not making any excuses for Kawhi Leonard. You're 100% right about there's no excuse for the way he played in Game 7. But you got to say that Doc's got to take some blame for the series. Not just Game 7, but the series. No?
Well, here's the thing. If you coach better, would it matter? Sure. But this team wasn't going to win. A team that's going to win, I don't care who the coach is, does not, in basketball, football's different. It's a coach's league. Basketball's a player's league. This team First led a team that had just come back down 3-1 in the previous series against the Jazz. Up 3-1 with a 16-point lead at the half. The series is over. They let him come back. Now it's 3-2. Up 17 at the half, just in case 16 wasn't enough. Let him come back. Now it's tied up. At 10 around halftime, a little before halftime, up 10, the third consecutive time, double digits. And at that point, watching the game, if you remember what you're thinking, you're like, oh, man, Nuggets got this. And they did, and they smoked him at the end. And Kawhi Leonard, even if you're not going to win the game, you can't go more than half the fourth quarter and your team doesn't have a single field goal? Can't be done. Can't happen. Absolutely not. When Kobe went out in Game 7 against the Suns and tried to make a point about passing the ball, he did not have a very talented team around him. He and I used to argue about that. I'm like, Kobe, bottom line is if you get to a Game 7, you can win a Game 7. You beat them. You were up 3-1. Come on, you got to close them out. And he's like, that group wasn't good enough. I still disagree. Like, if you can win three in a row, if you can be up 3-1, you can win the series. We used to argue about that. Kobe wasn't shy about his opinions, especially about his own game. Believe that. And a super smart guy, super smart guy. If you can get to a Game 7 as the Clippers, you're evenly matched enough. The best player on the floor is going to decide it. Jokic was the best player on the floor. Jamal Murray was the next best player on the floor. Kawhi was nowhere to be seen. In the fourth quarter of a Game 7? What? And then, even if you're not going to win, well, they had Jokic and Murray. Who's Kawhi's crime partner? He's MIA, Paul George. Okay, but don't go out like that on that kind of shooting night. Can't happen. But it happened. By the way, LeBron James, once upon a time, couldn't choke in four consecutive fourth quarters of a final series that he was favored in against the Mavs after creating a super team and saying, not two, not three, not four, but it happened. And it was like, well, the LeBron ship has sailed. He'll never be, you know, at the very topmost echelon of greatest ever. He came back from that in a big way and became one of the all-time great clutch performers. In Kawhi's case, it's more curious because he already seemed to me to be a great clutch performer. He just came off of playoffs like that, and throughout his career has been good in crunch time. But that just happened. We can't pretend it didn't happen. It did. John in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yeah, Max, I know you and other people in the media were saying how Kawhi's the best player in the league.
Mostly
I mean,
me.
He's up in a closeout game by 15 points.
Yep.
He's up in a closeout game by 19 points. I mean, the best player in the league is 35 years old, 17th year in the league. His name's LeBron James.
No, I agree. All right. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. I just said the exact same thing, by the way. Yes, that's obvious. That's right. And by the way, it's not just that LeBron took back the crown. As I said when I did a mea culpa to LeBron about Steph Curry once upon a time. Ooh, my bad, LeBron. Let's not be like I was wrong. Like my opinion that whole time was wrong. It was my honest opinion based on the evidence. But now, here's the one caveat. Nuggets can't do to LeBron and AD what they just did to the Jazz and to the Clippers. If they do, if LeBron's outplayed by Jokic and or Jamal Murray, we have to revisit this. But that's the thing about LeBron. I don't see that happening. Even when his team has lost, like they did against the Spurs, right? Like, first time LeBron got to the finals, he took one of the worst teams to the finals ever. Had no support. Of course they're going to lose that series. Right? Like, whatever. No big deal. The next time he gets back to the finals, he created a super team with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And then guys like Mike Miller and these guys start joining the team because they all want to glom on to something that they think is going to be successful. And went to four straight finals, but lost that first one. It was because LeBron wasn't playing up to his standards. That's why. It's a choke job. Like, he didn't want the ball. It wasn't, here's the right basketball player or pass. He's like, I don't want this responsibility. Four straight fourth quarters. And they lost to the Mavericks. That was on LeBron. But that's the only time he's done something like that. If you look at the rest of his career, the next three finals he played in against the Spurs, even when his team lost against the Spurs, I'm not saying they were all against the Spurs. I'm saying even in the series with the Spurs were a machine, LeBron was the best player on either team. The only time he wasn't in the finals is when Dirk Nowitzki got him the first time before LeBron was really ready. He looked ready, but he really hadn't been through that yet. Dirk was the best player on either team in that series. And by the way, in the world, really, to be honest, when you look back at that year. But LeBron has every time been the best player on the floor, even when his team has lost, and his team has rarely lost when they've had a legitimate chance. And come closer to winning than they should have when they didn't have a legitimate chance because they had LeBron James. That's why. That's not what just happened with Kawhi's team. The only two times you could argue LeBron wasn't the best on the floor was against Dirk. Dirk was better than LeBron that series, and his team won. LeBron was still not really quite yet in his prime. He hadn't been through the experience yet. And against KD the second time, where I would say it was close between LeBron and KD. Of course, KD had a lot less to do on that team because he had Steph and Klay and Dre with him. LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love, but that's not the same thing. That's his whole career. One time a guy was better than him, Dirk. And one time maybe as good, KD. And that's it. Every other time, he's the best player in the series. That was not Kawhi this year. The wait is finally over. Football season is here, which means Hulu has live sports. You can watch your favorite players like Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley on Hulu Plus Live TV. Get access to over 65 live channels plus the largest streaming TV library, including exclusive originals and the hottest shows and movies. Start your free trial today so you don't miss a moment of the action. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply.
No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here, what I'm saying.
Max's NFL Power Rankings.
All right, Max, what do you got? Who you got at number five this week in your oh-so-great power rankings?
The New Orleans Saints, Raj. The New Orleans Saints. I think that even without Michael Thomas, they have Emmanuel Sanders now, who, by the way, in Pittsburgh and in Denver, was part of tandems that were excellent. Now, he's best suited to be a number two receiver, but he's a hell of a number two receiver, and that's exactly what the Saints have been missing in recent years. They had a pretty good run defense for a team that was dynamic offensively. They have a great quarterback. They had a good offensive line. They had a good running game, excellent running game, but their second-best pass catcher had a great wideout. Their second-best and a great coach. The second-best pass catcher was their running back, was Kamara. Now they have a legit number two, but their number one is hurt. I'm putting them at, and by the way, they beat a Bucks team that just got thrown together with the quarterback and everything. I'm putting them at five. At four.
Okay. All right.
You want to say four?
Yeah, I'd like to say four. Can I say four?
Okay. Good.
Numero cuatro.
That four? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Expired.
All right. The Seattle Seahawks. I thought when they made the trade for Jamal Adams, usually a safety is not going to swing the balance of power, right? Like if you look at Super Bowl odds, if it's not a quarterback, almost nothing changes in terms of odds usually. But I saw the Minkah Fitzpatrick deal, what that did for the Steelers, even without the triplets, without Le'Veon Bell and AB, but even then without Ben Roethlisberger or their second string or third string quarterback. Minkah Fitzpatrick was a tipping point on the defense, a safety, and a great safety. But they went 8-8. And when a team that's ready to make moves already, whose defense is coming up, whose quarterback is all world, where, you know, like great coach, the whole thing, when that team starts to get ready to make a move and they trade for an all world safety, especially with the emphasis on the, you know, especially a versatile safety with the emphasis on the passing game now and versatility now, that could tip the scales. And I like what I saw week one. It was against the Falcons team, who also has real expectations this year. The Seahawks are at four.
Okay, so they moved down because last week you had up at number three. And by the way, the Niners were at number five last week, so obviously they're out. So who do you have at number three this week?
Well, the Niners get bumped because they lost to Arizona. The Packers are at three, and that's the reason the Seahawks are at four.
That's because, a new team in the ranking.
Yeah, because I got to tell you something. The Seahawks were not playing a divisional rival. The Packers were. The Seahawks were playing a team which for good reason, sorry, the Packers were playing a team who for good reason thought that they could be Super Bowl contenders this year and still feel that way, I'm sure. So for you to do that and to play like Aaron Rodgers played, I know there have been arguments that Russell Wilson played a better overall game, but I'm sorry. Aaron Rodgers does things no one can do but Patrick Mahomes. And maybe no one could ever do in the history of football until Patrick Mahomes came along. Just do the eyeball test. He is differently abled. And on a Packers team that beat the Vikings, I think they, like, if this is the way Aaron Rodgers is going to play, by the way, for a team that won 13 games last year and a playoff win against Seattle and Russell Wilson, I think you got to put them at three, and that's why the Seahawks fall, even though they played very well.
Okay. All right. So that's a big jump of the week. Now the only question is, who do we have at number one? You had the Ravens at number two last week and the Chiefs at number one. Do we have a change at the top two, Max?
We don't, because, look, the Ravens looked amazing. But this is against the Browns team, which, again, for the third consecutive year, and actually four times in the last 3 years, has a total coaching change to turnover. New head coach for the fourth time in 3 years. New OC for the fourth time in 3 years. Like, you know, and you don't have a preseason this year? That team's not going to be good week one. And on the other hand, you have a Ravens team who is not only looking like maybe the best team in football at the end of last season, you know, until the playoffs, but has something to prove from that playoff loss. So I'm not going to put, like, they looked great, the Ravens, but not great enough to supplant, to replace the defending Super Bowl champions who did whatever they wanted week one, who showed with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's going to be dynamic in the passing game but didn't even have to be, that they now have a group that may turn out to be the greatest quadruplets of all time. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Are you kidding me? Just tell me of quadruplets that have ever been like that, ever, where their talent is pitched that high. The Chiefs are still number one, and there you have it. Chiefs 1, Ravens 2, Packers 3, Seahawks 4, Saints 5. I should have, like, applause or something after that beautiful list and explanation. Yeah. Yay, me. What a magnificent and profound radio segment. Did you see the block last night? See that? That was the difference in the game. A lot of times you can't say one play is a difference in a game. Last night, that was the winning play. Plus, the Big Ten get it right. As the NFL season gets underway, make sure you're ready everywhere you go with TuneIn and ESPN Radio. Hear in-depth analysis of your favorite team all season long. Plus, fuel your football fandom by listening to ESPN's biggest football podcasts on TuneIn, including the Adam Schefter podcast, Fantasy Focus Football, and The Mina Kimes Show with Lenny. Download the free TuneIn app to start listening today.
Tatum out front, working against Butler, got downhill, couldn't punch it. Bam says, get it out of here. Out of bio.
That's why he's the heart and soul of our team, right there.
This is the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Napa job well done was Bam Adebayo for his block of a ferocious dunk attempt by the Celtics star, Jason Tatum, that sealed the Heat's Game 1 win.
Tatum holding with 10. Tatum on the NBA logo with 8. Makes his way to the 3-point line, down 2, drives, blocked at the rim by Adebayo. 3 seconds to go, and a late foul. Bam Adebayo may have just won Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Miami Heat.
Job well done is brought to you by Napa. Whether you stop by a locally owned Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. Look, that Heat-Celtics game was a back-and-forth slugfest, and Jason Tatum was identified. By the way, Zach Lowe had a whole in-depth thing on Tatum, and is he emerging before our eyes as a star that can be, you know, carry a team to a championship? It's remarkable what's happening, and I said last year, I'm not the only one who identified Tatum as that guy is the best offensive player on a championship team one day if things work out, right? That's his upside. But, you know, back to the star system. The Celtics have, like, four-star players. Gordon Hayward in a good year, and it's hard to say, like, when is he healthy? And is he still an all-star? He's like a four-star player. He's a really good all-around player. Both ends of the floor. As is Jaylen Brown, as is Kemba Walker, maybe not defensively because he's small, but certainly offensively, though not last night, as is Jason Tatum. But of all of them, Tatum is the guy who could maybe be the primary offensive weapon on a championship caliber team. Can he be that right now? You know, that's the question. And when that guy who went for like 30 and 14 and 5 is going in for the game winner, basically, and he's blocked clean like that? It almost reminded me in a way, not that it's the same kind of game, but when the Eagles and Patriots, I was at that game also as a fan. Sometimes I like to go as a fan to games, because, you know, get a ticket because I just want to enjoy the game. The rules in the press box, you're not supposed to root and this and that. I just want to enjoy it. And I went as a fan. And they were, like, you just got the feeling after a while. Remember the Patriots never punted in that game? You just got the feeling after a while. The first team to make a real defensive play is going to win, and that was the Eagles, and they won. Not that it's exactly the same thing, but they were going back and forth and overtime and back and forth. And Bam came up with the defensive play that really won the game. Usually one play, you can't say that's the game winner, but that was the game winner. And that's a tough one for the Celtics, who I liked in this series before it began for a couple reasons. I thought Gordon Hayward would be available to them. He wasn't in game one. Now you got to reintegrate a piece that's like kind of a big piece. The good thing about Hayward and about Jaylen Brown is that they can give you all-star production both ends of the floor without having to draw up plays for them. They can get it in the flow of the game and transition and just do things to help the team. And Gordon Hayward's passing helps the team. And he's a good player, a very good player. So with him, even if there's no five-star player, although Tatum's trying to become one right now, right? Even if Tatum's 4.5 and everyone else is a 4, let's say. You got 4 of those guys, that's a lot. And then Tice and a couple other guys, it's like, well, that's an above average player. If a three-star player is a starter, that's a 3.5. So I like them, and they can shoot and they can play defense. They have an excellent coach. But when you have a chance to steal a game without Gordon Hayward against a team like the Heat that's been playing the way they have throughout these playoffs, you got to do it. And Kemba came up small, and Bam came up big. And now that you have to reintegrate Hayward in order to play at your best, that might take a game or so. They don't have a game or so to get really as good as they need to be. So I started out the series liking the Celtics in 7. Oof. Maybe I like the Heat in 7 now because of game 1. I'm going to stay with the Celtics, but that's a bad loss for them. That's a game they really could have snuck away with, and Bam preserved it for the Heat, and that's a hell of a play. Who was going to face the Lakers in the finals? And will it be the Lakers? Denver is never say die. Denver got Jokic and Jamal Murray. Can LeBron and AD put them in their place? But what if their place is at the top of the NBA? What if we're watching this happen? It's unfolding before our eyes. What if the bubble has a kind of weird, funky effect on things, And it gives a chance to ascending players like Jokic, and especially Murray is an ascending player, and Porter and these guys, a chance to do something which in a normal season maybe it would be harder to do. What if that's what we're seeing? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. There's no better place to get in on all of the gridiron action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. By the way, Raj, why? I know you don't do the Thursday games because people don't get their teams in on time, but you don't have the Monday game in either in this one.
Monday game should be in there.
No, I don't
think
so.
We can't do Monday from last night. Well, I'll get on it. I try to take
actually Emmanuel Sanders because Michael Thomas doesn't play.
Ooh,
I want Sanders.
Telling me. I'm gonna get him too then.
Yeah, but I can't take him because for the second consecutive week you don't include the Monday.
We
players.
Haven't even started yet. You don't know yet because we haven't even started it. We'll see. I'll get on
I think
it today
it's just a way for you somehow to get me to spend an extra $10 on DraftKings that week. Okay, by the way, I don't mind because I get to enter two different kinds of teams. You know, like more DraftKings.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I've increased my lot on DraftKings. I'd say I've gone up about 30% of my initial investment in a scant 4 years. That's all it took. Download, and by the way, spending every spare moment of every day, ignoring my family and everything just to concentrate on that. I've actually made a few dollars. Download the DraftKings app now and use code MAX. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action. That's code MAX, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Last Take next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes, from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
LeBron's got it. I said in 2016, I know in any other era LeBron would be better than Steph Curry. But the league has changed. The game has changed. The rules are enforced differently. There's no hand checking. Smaller players can be greater. The three-point shot that Steph helped revolutionize by shooting it from such a distance with those kind of handles created more space for guys like Draymond Green, because rotations came late because they had to come from farther away, and turned them into better shooters. In fact, and the ball didn't stick with Steph. In fact, they just won 73 games for a reason. They're unstoppable. He just won the MVP for a good reason. Steph Curry's now the best player in basketball. It's his league. He should be the star of Space Jam 2, because it's really about him. He's the protagonist. And then I had to say, after that finals, whoops, sorry, LeBron. You've been the best all along. Not that you got the title back. You never lost it. I was mistaken. Flash forward 4 years. I thought, yep, LeBron usually takes his foot off the gas in the regular season, on the defensive end especially, because he's got so many miles on his legs. No one's ever played 17 years at this level like LeBron has. That he's gotten wiser as he's gotten older in order to preserve his status as among the best in basketball, if not the best. He has to take it easy in the regular season, do just enough, and in the playoffs become the best player in the world. And where the rubber meets the road, where it really matters, regular season doesn't matter in the NBA. It just gets you, only insofar as it gets you ready for the playoffs. It determines seeding and home court and chemistry. That's the only way the regular season matters in the NBA. Because more than 50% of the teams make the playoffs, 16 out of 30. And the playoff season itself, if you win the finals, 2 months long. Those are the highest leverage games. In fact, it's barely hyperbolic to say they're the only games that matter. And LeBron always had them to prove, no, he's still the best in the world. Steph, you can have that regular season MVP. KD, you could have that regular season MVP. When it comes down to it, James Harden, you could have that. When it's time to see what's what, LeBron should prove he's the best. He had the postseason to do it. Well, KD beat LeBron in the postseason twice. Shut up. That's such a stupid thing to say. KD was an MVP who joined a 73-win team. They weren't going to lose, period. Certainly not to the Cavs. They almost did to the Rockets, actually, but not to the Cavs. LeBron did not have a fighting chance in that series, and he outplayed KD the first time and at least played as well as KD the second time, at least. And KD had a lot less responsibility on that team. Doesn't matter that KD's team won it. He got MVP. LeBron was the best player in the series. In fact, since Dirk was better than LeBron, when Dallas beat them 4-2 and LeBron choked in those fourth quarters, played hot potato with the ball, didn't want the responsibility, he didn't just pass to make the right basketball play. He just didn't want it. Well, it's chemistry with Dwayne Wade. Whose team is it? All that. Whatever. It is what it is. Dirk was the best player in the series. Dirk was the best player in the world that year, as it turned out in retrospect. And the Dallas Mavericks won. That's the only time LeBron wasn't the best player on the floor. After that, every single playoff series he played in, LeBron was always the best player on the floor. Even when Kawhi got MVP, he was a puppy back then, Kawhi, for playing defense on LeBron when Iguodala did. That's just because sports writers, many of them are too scared or not smart enough to, not brave enough or not smart enough to just give the MVP to the player who deserved it, which was LeBron. But last year he got hurt, didn't have the playoffs to prove it. And it's one thing if you do that in the middle of your prime and a guy who's not as good as you in Kawhi, or hasn't been, steps up and has this great playoff series. It's another when you're 35. And you've played more minutes than anyone ever in the NBA who's still an MVP caliber player, including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And when that guy who won MVP in the finals had one of the greatest postseasons of all time, that was Kawhi Leonard. And I thought, well, Kawhi's now the best. And after Kawhi's performance, nope, it's still LeBron. Unless the Lakers fall against the Nuggets. And here's the last take. There's a chance that could happen. I'm a Lakers fan, and I believe the Lakers will win, and I believe it's because they have LeBron James, who's the best player in the world. But Jokic and Jamal Murray look just about as good as anyone right now. And the Lakers, even though you like the matchup for the Lakers, it looks like this favors the Lakers, not least because they have LeBron. But the Nuggets have just come back in two consecutive series down 3-1. Double-digit deficits don't seem to bother them, and they have two MVP caliber players. I'll see you tomorrow, ESPN Radio. Peace.